So one other question related to this initial phase is the issue of the transplant that he had. And, you know, I think the original idea behind transplant, well, you can explain that, came out before all the new drugs came out.
Right.
And there's been questions out there of, you know, do we still need to be doing transplant in these people who are getting much more effective drugs? Can you talk about the idea behind transplant, what it's attempting to do, and whether or not we know today that it's still relevant?
So what we do with a transplant is that we give a very high dose of conventional chemotherapy after the original induction therapy. We call induction therapy because we're trying to induce a remission. And then the transplant, the very high dose of chemotherapy's goal is to try to drive that remission level, whatever it is, to its lowest possible level. And then the subsequent positive outcome from the driving that remission level low is to be associated with an improvement in both progression-free survival and overall survival from the patient. So I haven't mentioned transplant at all. All I've mentioned was the very high dose of chemotherapy. So the positives is the disease control and subsequent improvement in time-related outcomes like PFS and overall survival. The side effect of the very high dose of chemotherapy is the elimination of the body's ability to make blood and the damage to the body's immune system. And so before we give that high dose of chemotherapy, we collect the patient's own stem cells. And we collect those stem cells several weeks before transplant. We then freeze them, then give the very high dose of chemotherapy, and then 1 to 2 days later, reinfuse those stem cells with the idea that the body will recover in terms of making blood again, restoring the normal immune system, and the myeloma will stay away. And so when transplant was compared to no transplant, which now it's been more than 2 decades since that initial study was published, there was clearly a survival advantage to the transplant versus the no transplant. And ever since that study was initially published, and then subsequent studies then confirmed, there have been multiple studies asking the question, say, hey, look, we have more effective therapies now. Maybe we don't need transplant. And studies that were published all showed the same finding, which is doing the transplant, no matter what other therapy's done, is associated with an improvement in disease control as measured by complete response rate, MRD negativity rate, and improvement in progression-free survival. Now, in those patients who don't get initial transplant up front, we still collect the stem cells. And so then if we subsequently transplant those patients later, the ultimate overall survival doesn't change. And so when I talk about transplant to my patients, and I say, if you take a population of patients and you compare doing transplant versus never doing transplant, there is a clear survival advantage. You live longer. And the survival advantage is on the order of several years. And several years, while it's not the difference between cured and not cured, it's still a long time. It's still a lot of time that people can spend with their families.
And that's a median, too, because some people might have greater benefit.
That's exactly right. That's a median. And so then if you compare transplant now versus collecting stem cells and saving them for a rainy day in a population of patients, the percentage of patients who are alive is the same. The overall survival is the same between those two groups. And that's what the new study that just showed, the study that was published by the French group, showed that when everybody had RVD as induction therapy and you compared early transplant versus ongoing RVD and 1 year of maintenance therapy, that response rates were higher, CR rates were higher, MRD was higher, and progression-free survival was higher with early transplant, overall survival was the same. And so with that data, you could look at that data and interpret it in many different ways. But I think that tells us about where transplant fits into populations. It doesn't tell us individual patients. And so we, for a very long time, have recognized that there are some patients who might be able to go without a transplant. And I think the goal of our initial therapy now is to induce MRD negativity, the best possible response. And I think probably one of the smartest thinkers in all myeloma, our colleague Antonio Palumbo from Italy, probably said the thing that has stuck with me the most when I think about what the right thing to do is. And he said in myeloma, it's very simple. If what you're doing is working, continue it. If what you're doing has stopped working, then change.
When you're kind of trying to make this, you know, complicated decision, I would imagine another issue might be kind of the patient's lifestyle. This man was retired. I can imagine you have people who are working, supporting a family. I don't know how, for example, how long you have to be out of work in order to get a transplant.
Yeah, I mean, I think we tell people in terms of staying out of work, and on some levels it depends on their job. A patient who is outside and doing heavy lifting and being exposed to who knows what in the environment, I'm going to want that patient to stay away from work for at least 3 to 6 months. A patient who works in an office, if they feel up for it, I let them go back to work 4 to 6 weeks later. But 4 to 6 weeks is really an outlier of going back to work. Most people can do most of their activities sometime between 3 and 6 months after the transplant.